This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim tasliman kathira. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim. Allahumma barik ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim fil alamin innaka Hamidun Majid. Now this is our third session of the reflective zikr, and it's the zikr that we do in the mornings, but just to think a little bit about how it affects our life and other things. So we've had two sessions and we've learned five different zikr of the Prophet ﷺ, and we said every day the third one is going to be speaking about something new about the salawat upon the Prophet ﷺ. But the question that I want to begin with before is to ask, have we used the dhikr? And for subhanAllah, for myself, there's so many things that I know and there's so many things, may Allah forgive me, that I don't do. And it's not something that's bad, but it's something that we should all improve on. And it's one of the reasons the Prophet ﷺ says in the hadith narrated by Imam Muslim, who's from the lands that we're visiting, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِذَا أَمَرْتُكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ, if I give you instructions to do something, فَأْتُوا بِهِ مَسْتَطَعْتُمْ, do as much of it as you can. And the reason the Prophet says do as much of it as you can is he knows that you and I, there's going to be things that we're not going to do. So the last thing you want is that someone has conveyed to you something from the Prophet ﷺ and you leave it off in its entirety. So he says, مَسْتَطَعْتُمْ, whatever's in your capability. When it comes to the supurgatory, the extra act of worship, the extra dhikr, the extra salawat, the extra morning prayers, the night prayers, the duha prayers, do as much of it as you can. The Prophet ﷺ is aware that there will be negligence. It's not a negligence that earns the wrath of Allah, it's a negligence that limits your reward with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, when I admit to you, there's so much of the dhikr of the Prophet ﷺ that I know that I don't practice as much as I should. It's something that I must try to improve in. But as a reminder, I say to you, you know, we spoke about Ayatul Kursi. Was it one of the things you recited before coming down today? Was it something you recited after every one of your prayers as you fulfilled them? Was it something you recited before you slept? The two verses that end Surah Al-Baqarah, was it something that you made a genuine effort to begin your day with today, to end your day with yesterday? The dhikr of the salawat of the Prophet ﷺ, did you increase it in your practice? Did you attempt to count how many you've done? And I want you to know that counting is from the sunnah. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ, he sets for you tasks in numbers. So he says, after salat, 33 times. Not 30 times, not 34, not 31. He says 33, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in fact, it becomes a bid'ah if you intentionally do 34. Like intentionally. Not that you made a mistake or you miscounted, but you say, the Prophet said 33, but I need more. So I'm going to do 34. I'm going to do 47. I'm going to do more. No, the Prophet gave a confined amount, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when he defines it, we stick to it as Muslims to the best of our ability. So with that in mind, I'm going to share with you the first dhikr. It's from Imam al-Bukhari's Book of Da'awat, the Book of Invocations. I just checked on my app, so it's not like I had it memorized. It's hadith number 98 of the 80th chapter. So if you were to go back, in the 80th chapter, it's the Book of Invocations, Dua, al-Da'awat. And in it, in the 98th hadith near the end, he shares this beautiful hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. And the Prophet ﷺ said that the one who rises and the one who makes it a practice in their day, where they say, and it's a dhikr all of us know, La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah lahul mulk wa lahul hamd wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir mi'ata marra, 100 times in their morning. The hadith doesn't say in their morning, but its end implies it's in the morning. Mi'ata marra, 100 times in their day, meaning they began their day trying to get to 100 before the end of the day. That's the fiqh of the hadith. It's not that you began the day and you sat there 100 times immediately, right? But you began, and it's 100 times in your day. By the end of the day, you've accomplished it. what do you get for that? Well, there's, you know, an amazing kind of reward. فَلَهُ عَشْرُ رِقَابٍ. It's like you freed 10 slaves from bondage. And I want you to consider that. Like, I want you to consider that there's a human being whose freedom has been usurped. Someone has taken hold of them, whether as a child or from war or something tragic has happened in their life, where their whole liberty, everything about them, has been taken captive. And they have no power to free themselves. And you, by your doing, by your word, by your wealth, and in this case, by your dhikr of Allah, have given them freedom of life. Not one or two or five, 10 people. For saying what? La ilaha illallah, wahdahu, la sharika lah, lahu al-mulk, wa lahu al-hamd, wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. Could you imagine Bilal radiallahu anhu hearing this hadith? Like, could you imagine Bilal, who was tortured in the desert, cut up, burned, rocks on his chest, unable to do anything for himself, and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, I would have given you his weight in gold. Like, back then, I would give anything to free this man. Imagine 10. For something as simple as that short dhikr. La ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika lah. But it doesn't stop there. And you will have عشر درجات. That dhikr will give you 10 levels in Jannah. 100 levels, excuse me. 100 درجات. It'll raise you 100 levels in Jannah. So you just, an entry-level Muslim, minimum wage Muslim, you're on the dole in Jannah, you just walked in, you're like, Alhamdulillah, I'm in Jannah. And Allah says, no, hold on. Go up 100 levels. Allahu Akbar. For that simple dhikr. And it doesn't stop there. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, وَلَهُ بِهَا مِئَةَ حَسَنَةً. You have 100 hasanat with Allah. 100 levels of reward. So 100 levels in Jannah, and 100 levels of Allah's reward. And every hasana بِعَشْرِ أَمْثَالِهِ. So when you put a hasana, it's actually multiplied by 10. So it's now 10 to 100. Sallallahu alayhi wa and taken from your account is 100 sins. So you've already begun your day 100 deeds up. 100 deeds that you're gonna commit negative are already forgiven to you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you're not just beginning up 100, but now you're already up another 100 because your mistakes are already forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a phenomenal hadith. And it's a phenomenal dhikr. This dhikr is so important that it is the number one dhikr for our dear brother and sister who were with me in Hajj, mashallah. What was the dhikr that we made in Arafah? That's the dhikr. La ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika lah, lahul mulk, wa lahul hamdu ala kulli shay'in qadeer. When you stood on the Mount of Safa, what was the dhikr you made? La ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika lah, lahul mulk, wa lahul hamdu ala kulli shay'in qadeer. You ran all the way to Marwa. What was the dhikr? La ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika lah, lahul mulk wa lahul hamd, wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. Why is the dhikr so important? The ulama, when they speak about this hadith and they speak about the words chosen by the Prophet ﷺ that are taught to him by Allah through Jibreel, the dhikr of the Prophet ﷺ, it's an act of ibadah. And everything that was an act of ibadah was not self-determined by the Prophet ﷺ. Allah says, وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ. He doesn't speak in acts of worship and faith from his own volition. It's something inspired to him by Allah. Right? So this is something Allah demands of the Prophet ﷺ. It begins with your kalima, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. And not just you say there's no God that's worthy of worship, but then you make tawqeed, you establish it further, وَحْدَهُ. Alone is He. Alone is He in His supremacy. So alone is He in His kingdom and His ability to create, and alone is He in His supremacy, subhanahu wa ta'ala. La sharika lah. Not just alone, there's an impossibility in my belief that anyone could be partnered with Him. No one could ever come to a level that they could be on any equal footing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in anything in my life. Lahul mulk. Because to Him alone is the kingdom. وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ. Because of it, to Him alone is all praise. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. And anything that is an obstacle in my life, Allah is capable and able to remove it or increase it. Whatever good I have, it's because of His qudrah. Whatever strength I have, it's because of the power He gave me. Whatever wealth I have, it's because of the rizq He provided. And whatever's been taken, it's because He has power over me and I can't change my circumstance. I'm in complete submission to the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, in this dua, you affirm everything about the supremacy of Allah. Tawheed al-uluhiyya wal-rububiyya wal-asma'i wal-sifat. It is the tawheed of Allah in Him being the Rabb, the Lord, your Master, your Creator, your Sustainer. In Him being the only one you are going to worship, and in recognizing Him with His names and His attributes, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, begin your day, inshaAllah, today, as you're walking, as we're visiting, لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير. The second hadith I share with you is a hadith collected in the Sunan where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, and he used to make this not recited just for himself but also for his grandchildren and his loved ones. So he would bring Al-Hasan and Hussein. Sometimes he'd bring some of the children of the Sahaba. And they would narrate, Ibn Abbas says, the Prophet did it for me. Others say that he's done it for me. And he would say, and he would make the dua of asking Allah for protection from the harms that affect us in life. And he would say, أعوذ بكلمات الله التامات من شر الأخر. I seek through the perfect words, the most complete words given to us by Allah. A'udhu, I seek refuge with Allah, bikalimatillah, through the words Allah has taught to An-Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, through the words of the Qur'an, through the words of this dua. At-tamat min sharri ma khalaq. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect me in the most perfect way, through His most perfect means, with the most perfect words, from any harm that is to befall me. Min sharri ma khalaq. From evil that is found in what He has created. Subhanallah. Min shar ma khalaq. And this comes from a verse that we know from the Quran, right? At the end of the Quran, in al ma'udat, min sharri ma khalaq. That statement is a very profound statement in our aqidah. It establishes that we don't believe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created evil for it to be evil. Rather, He created people and creation, and from them they produced evil. Min shar ma khalaq. From the shar, the evil that comes out of the good that He has created, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created me and intended for me to be a righteous person and to live in a good, clean way. But subhanallah, as a result of my incapacity and lack of capability to be honorable in all my means, I produce evil. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive you and I. And therefore, I ask Allah to protect me from the evil within myself. And there's dua of the Prophet ﷺ, وَمِنْ شَرِّ نَفْسِي, from the evil that I result in myself. And the evil that is inspired to me from the shaitan. And therefore, in this dua are three important benefits. First, you recognize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent complete word, a complete word of protection. And the complete word of protection is the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is al-hirr. It is the greatest fortress that you can fortify yourself with. There is no greater dhikr than the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He used and asked us to use. And therefore you hear the Prophet ﷺ, when he would be given these dua, they would have sections of the Qur'an. Min sharri ma khala. It's a statement from the Qur'an used by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A'udhu, that the word ta'awud, a'udhu. It begins, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. It begins, you know, asking, making ta'awud is a powerful word in the Arabic language. It gives you three things. The three things that come to mind. First, you understand you're weak. I can't help myself. Ya Allah, I need your help. If I could help myself, if I could stop the shaitan from influencing me, if I could stop someone from envying me from a distance, I would. But I know I can't. So now I have to seek your ability and your strength to assist me in this protection. So it's a self-admission of you as a created being that I am weak without you, O Allah. I come to you weak. I stand before you humbled. Second, it's declaring Allah's supremacy. Because I'm weak, you're the one that can help. Nothing else can help. No one's grave can help. No one's barakah can help. No one else's dua can help me if you don't accept it. In any way, no one can provide me assistance if it's not given to me by you. So at first, you come humble to Allah. I need you. I have no one. I can't help myself. I have no one to help me. Number two, except you, ya Allah. No one has the power except you. And number three is that you understand that there is danger that is beyond you. A'udhu bi kalimatillah. I know that it's not just me that commits mistakes. It's not just engendered for me. Sometimes, subhanAllah, the shaitan can inspire me. Sometimes a friend can lead me away. Sometimes I see something that can inspire me to evil. I need help from my own self against myself. Right? So those are the three statements of that come to mind when you hear the word and when you say, A'udhu, I seek protection. Who you're asking for protection and your admission of weakness and knowing that there is danger that surrounds you. Those are the three steps of you becoming a more competent believer and self-aware of the danger that surrounds us. A'udhu bi kalimat, with words. We always underestimate the power of words. We don't think, oh, words matter. But words can be more harmful and more difficult upon a person than actions. And what a person may say to you may cut you more than a razor cuts. A razor will heal. I got cut with, it'll heal. But subhanAllah, a word can cut you so deep, as Yusuf Islam says, the first cut is the deepest, right? SubhanAllah, right? The cut, it's something that, you know, it can injure your heart. Every time you see that person, you remember. Every time you walk down that street, it comes back to you. It's really difficult to overcome words. Words matter. And subhanAllah, therefore you find the Quran was sent as Kalamullah, the best of words. It's the best of statements. And your deen is built upon a kalima, a word of belief in Allah. So you're asking Allah, A'udhu bi kalimati Allahi tammat. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the best of words, the most complete of words, the best statement, the best recitation, the best scripture that was given to us through our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the most complete deen, the fitrah, the inclination of mankind to come to Allah is in those words. At-tammat min shar ma khalaq. To protect me from the evil that resides in his creation. And therefore you assume that there is evil that can come from anything that Allah has created. This grass can result in evil. It can give you, some people that have an allergy to grass. There's something that can harm some of us. In anything, there can be something that can give you harm. Your best friend, your wife, your husband. I knew it was her. Right? It could be your best friend. It could be your children. Allah warns you of them in the Quran. Inna min azwajikum wa awladikum, and in other verses, amwalik aduwwan lakum, is an enemy to you. Fahdharuhu. It's an enemy to you. Your spouse is your enemy. Not in the dunya. You don't sleep with one eye open. What's she thinking about? No, it means that they will be your enemy on the day of judgment if you aren't just with them. Your wife, your husband on the day of judgment is going to be the greatest hurdle for you to enter Jannah. They're going to stand in front of you and say, oh Allah, I want my haq. He treated everyone well. At work he was polite. At home he was... Your father, your mother are going to stand in front of you and they're going to say, no, you don't just go. I want my haq. In the dunya, I raised you, I fed you, I clothed you, I healed you, I nurtured you, I stayed awake so you could sleep. I healed you with my body, everything. I held you for years, and subhanAllah, you mistreated me. I want my haq. يَفِرُ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ. You know, there's such power in that. It's important. Anything that is created by Allah, there could be harm that comes from it. And you and I, we have to be very cognizant of that. Al-akhilla ba'duhum li ba'din habib. The Prophet ﷺ, Allah tells him in Surah Al-Jathiyah, the best of friends, khaleel to each other. Ba'duhum li ba'd adu. On the Day of Judgment, they will be the worst animosity in enemy and harm to each other. I'm not going to let you go. But we were best friends. Yeah, that was then. But I want my haq. Right? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us His protection and His love, Allahumma Ameen. So you make dua بِكَلِمَاتِ اللَّهِ from the evil that resides in what He has created, and we are from His creation. So you're asking Allah to protect you from yourself. You are from the creation of Allah. Oh Allah, protect me from the desires that I have that lead me away from you, from the things that make me go overboard into tughyan. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَيَطْغَى أَوْرَآهُ اسْتَغْنَى. Mankind is prone to overstepping and transgressing upon others and themselves. Why? أَوْرَآهُ اسْتَغْنَى. They believe themselves self-sufficient. So it brings you back to the first word of this dua, أَعُوذُ. I'm not self-sufficient, Allah. I know I need you. I know I'm in trouble without you, oh Allah. And therefore that's a powerful dua that I ask you to make at least 3 times in your morning. أعوذ بكلمات الله التامات من شر ما خلق. أعوذ بكلمات الله التامات من شر ما خلق. أعوذ بكلمات الله التامات من شر ما خلق. The final, of course, we end with the best, which is the salah upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we mentioned the hadith of Ubay ibn Ka'b yesterday, and we continue, inshallah, with speaking about our durood and salah upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is al-munqidha. It is the salvation. It is what gives you protection and assists you when you are in trouble. So part of the understanding of salawat is that it is a preventative measure. So you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to assist you in your life by remembering the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and what he means to you in your life. But now that you're in a moment of hardship, nothing that the ulama have identified is of a greater dua for Allah to assist you than you remembering the difficulties of the Prophet ﷺ and how he was saved. Where do we get this from? Well, everywhere you look in the Quran, you find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the prophets before you, Ya Muhammad, they experienced this. Musa experienced that. Ibrahim experienced that. Allah is always giving the Prophet ﷺ reassurance that as I save them, I will save you. And therefore it's that same thing. So it's the same thing that Allah asked of the Prophet ﷺ. Remember Ibrahim. وَذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ إِبْرَاهِيمِ وَذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ مُوسَى وَذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ. Right? Remember in your remembrance and what I've said to you in the book. Look what I did here, here, and here. In that same way, that is the intention you have in your salawat. Ya Allah, you saved the Prophet ﷺ on the day of Badr. You saved him on the day of Uhud. In Al-Khandaq, you saved him in Al-Hijrah. Ya Allah, as you have blessed our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, continue to bless him, give him peace. Oh Allah, I would rather be in my hardship and that he is in his salvation and his comfort than I have comfort in my life. That's how the Sahaba understood the salah upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In a beautiful hadith in Sahih Bukhari, which is in the book that relates to our salah, they asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, initially, they used to make their, at the end of their prayer, they would, as a part of their love of Allah, they would say, At-tahiyyat, As-salamu ala Allah. They would say, As-salamu ala Allah. So the Prophet said, Allahu huwa as-salam. You can't say, I give peace to Allah. Allah is the origin of peace. Allahumma anta as-salam, wa minka as-salam. Oh Allah, you are the origin of peace, and from you comes peace. So don't say that. Rather say At-tahiyyatu lillah. Say our greetings to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he taught them. And they said, Oh Allah, O Messenger of Allah, you've taught us how to pray to Allah and how to make this greeting to Allah. At-tahiyyatu lillah wa salawatu wa tayyibat. So now what should we do? How do we greet you? How do I show my love and appreciation of you? So Allah reveals to the Prophet ﷺ, Jibreel descends and says, teach them this. As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabi. Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. As-salamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi as-salihin. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. In one riwayah, wahdahu la sharika lah. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammad abduhu wa rasuluh. And then they said, Oh Messenger of Allah, this is a general one. How do we specifically mention you? How can I greet you, O Messenger of Allah, if I'm distant from you? How can I send you my salam if I'm not able to see you and be near you? You're sending me to Yemen, you're sending me here. So the Prophet ﷺ receives the As-Salah Al-Ibrahimiyya. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. And the Sahaba, Abu Sa'id Al-Khudri and others, they report the Prophet would teach them this salah upon him the way he would teach them salah. Now remember yesterday I told you the Prophet said, when you pray, pray as you have seen me pray. Like, be careful, watch me how I pray. Watch how I sit, watch how I stand, watch my movement. He was very particular with salah. And they, to emphasize how important salah is, they said the Prophet taught us how to make our salawat upon him with the same care that he taught us how to pray towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the Prophet said to them, say, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim. Allahumma barik ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim fil alamin innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. That shows you the importance of the durood and the salah of the Prophet, the care that he had that was instructed for him by Allah to give to establishing the salah, that it becomes a regularity in your life. So once again, I come back to where I began today. How much of our salawat upon the Prophet ﷺ have we increased? And have we reached that number of at least 100? Try to increase it, inshallah, as you're falling asleep on the bus while I'm talking, to make your salawat, inshallah, right? As you're getting ready for your bed, make your salawat upon the Prophet ﷺ. As you're walking around, and it doesn't have to be something outward. And the shortest salah upon the Prophet ﷺ is Allahumma salli ala or sallallahu alayhi, right? And the Prophet ﷺ, and I end with this, he said, as is narrated in different collections, abkhalu ummati, the most miserly, the stingiest, meaning the ones whose heart don't have the capacity to assist others. He links it with your ability and your desire to assist others in life. The most stingy person, the most miserly person, the taker and not the giver, right? Al-Bakhil is the one who takes, and rarely gives. The one who consumes and doesn't produce, right? Abkhalu ummati, the worst of those kind of people in my ummah, who are takers and not givers, is the one إِذَا ذُكِرْتَ عِنْدَهُ لَمْ يُصَلِّ عَلَيْهِ, is the one whose heart, when I'm mentioned in front of them, mentioned, not named, just mentioned, dhukirt, just my mention, just my description, just someone kind of off the hand mentions me, doesn't send salah upon me, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is a sign of your wakefulness of your heart, that you have a love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it compels you to greet him, even from a distance, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we'll continue with more about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his salah tomorrow bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.